Welcome, everybody, to the Implementation Advisory Group for the Competition Consumer Trust and Consumer Choice Advisory Group. As you all know, the mandate of this group is to take the combined recommendations of the GNSO and ALAC, which amounted to 70 recommendations for potential metrics that could be used to measure increases in competition, trust, and choice, and to narrow them down and make them practical in terms of staff resources and financial commitments necessary for their tracking and use by the review team that will be reviewing the new GTLD program now less than a year from now. So that's our objective. And that's the call you should be on. So if you are trying to get to another city, then you need to leave the plane immediately and board another flight. That's what we're doing here. Why don't we begin by having everybody introduce themselves, and let's go ahead and do it in the order of the Adobe chat room to start, so that people aren't wondering when to speak up. And let's go through and identify yourself for the record.
Well, that's really interesting. And I have also one thesis on food, on small ruminant food quality and safety. Meat quality and safety in Ethiopia. Do you know Ethiopia? I'm from Ethiopia. And I'm really interested to be part of your program, which is metrics. And I would like to present, if I will get the chance to present even my research results. And really, it's my passion to be part of this program.
And we're happy to have you. And we're going to and work our way through this agenda. And if anyone has things that they want to raise that are not on the agenda, let's save it for the other business portion of the call at the end. But let's begin, if we can, with people introducing themselves in the order of the Adobe chat room. So if you're not in the Adobe chat room, we'll come to you afterwards. So Cheryl, perhaps starting with you, please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Cheryl Langdon. I'm from the At-Large Advisory Committee, but I'm also a member of the non-commercial stakeholders group in the GNSO. The CCNSO, and of course currently the chair of the nominating committee for ICANN 2014. Thank you.
Krista? Christopher.
Hi, this is Christopher. This is Christopher Wilkinson. I'm at large, representing an ALS in Europe, in the Francophone part of Belgium. I also negotiated the original registrar arrangement with Ara Magazina in 1996, and I'm particularly interested, as I've indicated in the submissions I've made to the list, to maintain appropriate competition between registrars and registrars.
Excellent. Sintra. Okay. David.
This is David Stockman. I'm from Manhattan, Kansas. I represent small businessmen, new to the community, I guess. I'm also on a phone. I have a bad echo, so I'm on both.
Oh, yeah. Well, being on both might worsen the echo, unfortunately, if you have your PC speakers on. But
yeah, I muted muted one.
Okay. I'm Jonathan Zook from the Association for Competitive Technology and the chair of this advisory committee. Judy?
Hi, I'm Judy Song Marshall, and I'm from Newstar, and I'm in Washington, D.C.
Karen?
Yep. Excuse me. This is Karen Lentz from ICANN staff. And Theresa Gernick from ICANN staff as well.
Excellent. Michael? Michael Flynn? Okay. Mike? Okay, Natalie. Are you folks on the call? Not sure why my microphone is set up correctly. Please get me. Okay. Olga. And Phil. Phil on the call? Ron.
Good afternoon, Jonathan. Ron Andruff here. Member of the business constituency, also the non-com representative from the BC this year, representing small business, and the chair of the Standing Committee on Implementation for the GNSL Council, and happy to be a part of this group. Also the vice chair with Jonathan in this IAGCCT. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Rudy? Santiago? All right, and Steve.
Hi, it's Steve Del Bianco. I'm with the business constituency at ICANN, and I was also part of the earlier working group that devised the metrics that this group inherited for analysis.
Okay, great, everyone. Thank you. And thanks for being on the call and living through what is always a difficult thing, trying to find the right time for everybody to be on the phone. As you know, this is a group that will be meeting for some time to really whittle down these proposed metrics to something more manageable. And so we will have a lot of time to discuss a lot of different issues as we go through. And what we're trying to do here very early on is figure out what, if anything, needs to be dealt with earlier in the process rather than later, so that we can make, if you will, interim recommendations to the board for certain things to be accomplished early, because the data will be either more expensive or more difficult to obtain by the review group, a year from now. And so to that end, Steve Dobianko and Ivan Leibovich started a document whose purpose was to take a first pass at identifying data collections that would potentially pose challenges down the road and that we should consider at least discussing early on as potential data to begin collecting now rather than waiting until the group had finished its work. And then Karen is going to present, after Steve, Karen is going to, and even Karen is going to present a kind of first pass feedback from the staff and reaction to some of the work that Steve and Evan have done. And then the final thing we're going to talk about is the one thing we know that if we're going to do it, we need to do it sooner rather than later, which is the survey, and then we'll have a conversation about the feasibility, viability, cost, and value, if you will, of a survey and have that conversation. So that's our agenda for the call. Let's do our best to stick to it and move through it expeditiously. So without further ado, what I'd like to do is hand the talking stick over to Steve and Evan to talk about their work and the recommendations that they came across on their first pass through the 70 metrics. Steve and Evan?
And this is Steve. Evan indicated he might be a little bit late for the call. And so very quickly, folks, Evan and I volunteered, and the first thing we did was to combine the ALAC and GNSO advice. I with the GNSO, Evan with the ALAC. We thought it would be effective and helpful to everyone to combine the two advice documents into one. And then we added a column indicating what the considerations might be for when to start the measurements. And we circulated that document last week, I believe. And the benefit of having it a single doc is that anybody wanting to get up to speed on all the work that's been done now need look only one place, where everything is contained, all the notes, the difference between ALAC and GNSO, which I tried to retain by keeping the ALAC notes in red. And then Evan and I visited the 70 rows, and approximately half of them have some sort of a consideration or note in the far right-hand column. Mine were in black, and then Evan added his, and we kept them in blue just to keep a distinction between the GNSO and ALACS. There are 40 of them in there where I either noted something like, hey, let's confirm that you can get this data after the fact, confirm that the data source has date-stamped historical records. And that was in there for a great number of the rows that I noted. And if staff can assist us in confirming that we can get the history later, then there's no more that need be said about it now. There are other items where we have questions for discussion that if Jonathan and the group wants to, we can cover them on this call. And, of course, the survey covers at least three of the 70 metrics, perhaps even more, and there's an opportunity to combine a lot of that discussion on the survey part of today's call. And I'll stop there to see if anybody has any questions or needs us to resend that document to participants.
Yeah, so this is Jeffrey Thomas. Could you resend that document to me? I don't recall receiving it.
Charlotte, do you have Jeffrey's email?
Hold on, let me check my folder here. If you have it up, if you want to send it to me quickly, I can get it in the room.
Oh, you don't have it, Charlotte? Oh, my. Okay. I'll send it to you.
Hey, John, this is Ron Andruff. I just posted a note in the chat. Just wondering if staff could put that document up on our Adobe Connect. It would be much easier for us all to look at rather than toggling between screens.
Absolutely, Ron. Cheryl here. I support that. And I've just typed a little bit of a long missive about an admin matter in the chat as well. Jonathan, this room is set up inappropriately for this call.
Folks, I have resent the original email that went to all of you, and I've resent it. It says combined GNSO and ALAC metrics. Give you all a moment to retrieve that and for Charlotte to put it in the room.
So, I mean, I guess what I'm hoping to do is not walk through this document on this call. That would be a pretty inefficient use of all of our time. And so the question I guess I have for Steve is whether or not there were particular items that he wanted to raise above the DIN as topics of discussion, because there seemed to be consensus between him and Evan that work would need to happen now rather than down the road in order to track those particular data elements. So that's the question that I would pass back to Steve is, we have this document and we appreciate it, and presumably most of the people on this call have gone through it, but are there things that you want to raise, other than the ones covered by the survey, in this document to people's attention for purposes of discussion?
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Steve. There were several items where I simply wanted to confirm that historical data would be date-stamped, and I'm speaking of the kind of historical data that's maintained on registries and registrars and zone files. And I would think it's a relatively easy matter for staff to simply verify that they keep snapshots or have the availability of snapshots of zone files. And, of course, it doesn't need to be every day. I suggest that when you want to go back to the early 2014 period, that you just have at least weekly, and if not that, even monthly, snapshots of zone files. Anyone on staff able to react to that?
Yeah, Steve, this is Karen Lentz. I believe that as part of our review of this, that was not an issue.
Thank you. That's really helpful. And then before we dive into the surveys, I did want to ask, Aaron, I was trying to think about using the documents you attached to your email, and I'm a little confused because there were roughly 40 of the 70 metrics where we had some indication of consideration, but only a small number, a dozen or so, were attached in the Excel sheet that you did, in the attachment that you sent around just the other day. So help me understand, Karen, the difference in scope between the document Evan and I did and what you sent around.
Sure. Sorry, can you repeat the question?
The document that you sent around only captured about a dozen of the considerations that Evan and I had, the stuff where you put in the green with the notes column.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter that you didn't get to the rest, or are those ones you want us to focus on immediately? Give me some background about how that fits in with this discussion.
Sure. Yeah, I'll do that. And again, you know, I'm new, relatively new to the project. You all probably know more about it than I do, and perhaps it was just slightly differing understanding. But my understanding of the first task in terms of the staff input was to identify the quote low hanging fruit. So the things that are of the 70, the things that are either data that we already have, data that is easy to collect, to sort of categorize or identify those so that they can be taken off the table and focus on the rest. So those are the ones that, based on the staff exercise, those have notes in green. You're correct. There are a number where there are notes in blue about when to start or when that these are key in terms of getting baseline data. Some of them have surveys, et cetera. So if they're not responded to, that only means that we didn't have an instant, this is feasible, this is useful. And if there are open items where you need, more staff action or more staff input specifically on that column of the considerations that need to be addressed more directly, then we're happy to do that.
All right, thanks, Karen. It sounds like yours was a work in process, and it won't be responsive to all the questions that Evan and I had. So Jonathan, I might recommend quickly, if I were to do three examples, it would help us to understand where this call could go. Folks, you all have the document on the screen in Adobe, or you may have received it as a second time as an attachment to the email. If you open it and go to page 12, you'll see where this table actually begins. And on table 12, item 1.4 is a survey. Jonathan suggested earlier we handle all the survey discussions a little bit later in the agenda. So we can skip past that. And the first one that Evan and I raised a concern about was for 1.8. That's on page 13. Each of you can control the scroll on your Adobe, whether you have it open in Word or PDF, whatever you want to do. This was one of the relative incidents of registrar complaints that come into ICANN's internet system. And we simply made a quick question to say that the internet system kept by ICANN have the ability to reach back the stamp of the complaints. I have to believe the answer to that is yes. Karen, anyone?
Yeah, Steve. So on 1.8, we did check on the internet. I think my note says that in terms of compliance and collecting that data, some of the internet data has been folded into the present compliance statistics. That includes back to January 2012. We do have the older data, but it will take some more manual work to pull that forward and review it for the types of complaints that are tracked today. Does that make sense?
Thanks, Karen. We don't need anything but a yes-no answer, because if you say yes, we can get the old data, we don't actually need you to go get it yet.
Okay.
Now, you just indicated that your notes were responsive to 1.8, and here's where I'm really confused. The attachment that you sent around a few days ago doesn't have 1.8 on it at all.
Well, it should. The one I'm looking at does, so I can take a look at whether that was missed.
Wow. All right, I'm continuing.
Sorry.
All right, so why don't we move on to the next one? Scroll to page 14. This is a note from Evan, and it might be better for me to let Evan speak to it, but
Well, I'm here, but I just walked in.
Evan, hey, we're on item 1.11, and who had the suggestion that we reach out to Mark Monitor and other organizations, ask them the simple question, do you have ideas for sources of this information? And if they do, we would ask them whether historical or archive available. And if the answers are yes, this could be a done deal. Anyone on staff to reach out to Mark Monitor and other vendors, that kind of information is available on IP claims. We're talking about page 14 and 1.11.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. This is Evan. ICANN has a number of consultancies right now that are working on trying to protect the IP interests of clients, and it would just strike me as totally reasonable that at least a few of these would have some archival tracking of what they've had to do, at very least on behalf of their own clients, to get some kind of a benchmark for us to work against. It might not be complete, but it's better than not having anything. And I suspect that some of the larger ones, and I mentioned Mark Monitor by name, there may be others, will certainly have more comprehensive listings across a fairly reasonably diverse set of clients. Thanks.
Thank you. And Karen, this is Steve. I reopened your original email, and I see in the Excel sheet that you had three tabs, and I had missed that. My bad. I had only looked at one tab. So thank you, Karen. You did put quite a bit of work into this, where you have tried to be responsive on all of the items that Evan and I brought up. Got the impression that a few of them were covered. Thank you for that. We're on 1.11.
I was about to type that clarification in that there are three tabs.
Got it. And Karen, you didn't have a note on 1.11, which is the one that Evan just explained. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so if that's the direction of the group that staff do this outreach, I think that's fine. I think that particular item was fairly broad, and it'd be useful to have a little bit more discussion about the pieces and how they're meant to be interpreted. But in terms of being able to do the outreach, I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess our intention at this point, Karen, is really just to cover our bases as our discussions progress, and there's a long set of discussions ahead of us. Will we regret not having reached out or tracked data now because we couldn't get to it? That's really the issue, not trying to make a decision about whether it's a good metric now, but if it's data that we couldn't get if we don't start getting it now, then we would move the prioritization of that discussion to the top, to either keep or dismiss that metric sooner rather than later, so that a decision could be made about making a recommendation to the board. So it's really just a fact finding about whether or not that data, if it turns out to be to survive this review process, will we be able to go back and get it after the fact? I mean, that's really the only question we need an answer to at this juncture.
So the outreach on that could be done according to the entities that are listed in the document. We should jump ahead to 1.13. Evan had a note in here to request as soon as we could on 1.13. This is compliance concerns that are reported to law enforcement because they contain violations of applicable national laws. So it's not something about which ICANN would have the data. So this one is very tough to gather considering there are different law enforcement regimes all around the world. I don't even know whether WIPO is a good source of this, but are there any thoughts as to whether law enforcement data is consolidated and combined by entities such as Interpol or others to where a historical data can be requested and provided from them? Again, this is 1.13.
So, Steve, this is Karen. In response to that one, we are looking at all of these, and this struck us too as one of the more challenging ones. I think
actually, Steve, can I maybe, Karen, maybe I can explain a little bit of the reasoning behind. I see Chris, though, has his hand up ahead of me in the queue, so I don't know in Adobe Connect how you want to deal with that. I mean, I'm capable of answering to this right now because just to give my thoughts behind writing that.
Chris and Mike, are you guys offering an answer to the question about this item? Evan, why don't you go ahead?
Okay.
Okay.
So essentially, I just wanted to explain my thinking on this, in that ICANN meetings have typically had law enforcement representation. Is it amongst every country? Not necessarily. My issue right here is I think we're in the realm of we don't know what we don't know. I mean, if the question isn't even asked of anyone, is this information being collected, then we'll never know. I mean, it's totally possible that if we make some inquiries, we may find that at least some kind of partial collection is being done. So that's what I mean. This is sort of one of those Rumsfeld unknown unknowns thing that I'm hoping we can at least get a better idea. Does it mean that this is going to be a metric that's going to be very heavily dependent upon? Not necessarily. But right now, I'm sort of, this is to me the fact-finding stage of just figuring out, even asking some questions and finding out if this exists. Thanks.
Evan, that's a good point. I guess, can anyone from staff confirm whether you're willing to reach out and just answer that question? Oh.
Yep, this is Karen.
We knew from the beginning it would be difficult, and I guess the question is trying to understand whether or not this data is captured now.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Back to Steve here. Go ahead, Evan.
No, I saw Mike in the chat saying that this is problematic. I'm not disagreeing. This is not going to be one of our cornerstone metrics. It's the kind of thing, if it exists, it's useful. If it's not going to exist, then this is going to be the one we're probably not going to spend a whole lot of cycles running after. It's in there just to find out if it's even being done.
Great point. And now there's a series of five rows in a row from 114 to 119 where we simply wanted to get staff's help to confirm that the data sources would retain date-stamped historical records. And I'm 99% sure that the anti-phishing working group would have date-stamped records because Rod and his group publish time series charts, which means they have data at least broken down by month. So I'm confident of that. The one we're less confident of is law enforcement authorities, or LEA, as it's indicated in here. Evan just brought up the discussion that it's going to be very difficult to get consolidated data from law enforcement agencies. And I think the same thing would apply to metrics 116, 17, and 18, and even 19, because it would require government to help. So, Karen, when you compose the note to either the GAC or to Interpol or whatever entity you think you can reach out to, please pick up not only 1.11, but all the way to 1.19. Since all of these, we would be asking whether there are available consolidated data sources for these kinds of statistics, and it doesn't have to be perfect, it just has to identify trends. Because I have a question for the whole group. If we discovered that only, let's say, European law enforcement had the data and was willing to provide it, would that be sufficient for us to measure trends over time and comparing the new GTLDs with the old if we only looked at a single continent worth of law enforcement? Or do we feel the need to get a geographically diverse as well as over time comparison data?
I would say no.
Steve, this is Evan. To me, this is going to be a similar thing to working with the trademark owners, in that figuring we know ahead of time we're probably not going to get everyone. So it's going to be a matter of doing the preliminary, how much can we find out, and then making a decision based on what's available, whether or not this is worth running after.
Thank you, Evan. And I heard someone else suggest that we would need a geographically diverse set of statistics. It wouldn't be sufficient to pick a single continent. And I would concur.
Yeah, that'd be my view as well. This is Jonathan.
Karen, if we could bounce ahead to number 1.20, you have a note in green there about who is complaining. What are your thoughts on that?
So I thought, well, this one seems fairly straightforward in terms of having some data that exists. I think when you come to looking at, you know, reviewing the new GTLD, new GTLDs in that space, there's a little bit of maybe interpretation that needs to be applied. So typically the who is inaccuracy complaints that are received are issues that are addressed with the registrar, within the way it works today.
This statistic doesn't care. This statistic, as it's worded, doesn't care if the inaccuracy was the fault of anyone. It could have been the registrant, the registry, registrar. It doesn't matter at all. It's simply measuring the incidence of complaints for inaccurate, invalid, or suspect who is before and after. So if your who is complaint system has the ability to categorize inaccurate, invalid, or suspect who is and date stamps that and knows which TLD it came from, that's sufficient. We don't really need to know registry or registrar sources.
Okay. So that's, the who is inaccuracy, the who is complaints is one of the things that, we've been tracking data on for quite a while. So I think that is, in terms of being able to respond to 120 as it's worded, that's a clear can do.
Excellent. Great news. On 1.22, just a quick yes or no, are you guys keeping the originally submitted applications that came in June of 2012?
Yes.
Thank you. And now we would jump into a bunch of ALAC metrics on end-user confusion. Karen, there weren't any green notes in the far-right column. We're up to 4.1 right now. And I don't. I'm wondering whether you just haven't gotten to them yet, or did you need Evan to clarify?
Sorry, which number again?
4.1. We're just proceeding right on through the table.
4.1. 4.1. Okay. So most of these, are you looking for a yes or no?
The absence of any text from you in your column, I wanted to know whether that means you just haven't gotten to it yet, or did you have questions for Evan, who actually composed these items?
So, I think the they're not things that we have data on currently, and they're not it wasn't clear that they could be easily established, so that's why there's not a note. So I guess it's closer to we haven't gotten to it yet. We have looked at it and understood what the intention is, I believe. But in terms of being able to commit or say yes, we know how we would do this. We don't have a response on that yet.
All right, and it's possible at the end of this call on the agenda we'll cover all these because they almost all involve a survey.
Right.
So, Evan, the agenda for this call was for us to quickly get through this and address Karen's notes, and then we would get to the survey design, and that would touch many of these rows. So I think we should skip ahead to Section 5. And, Evan, you've got blue on Section 5, 5.1 through 5.5. And again, Karen doesn't have anything in here yet. So, Karen, do you have any questions for Evan and the ALAC folks on the call in order to help determine whether this data can be gathered?
I don't think so, not at this time. Thanks.
Yeah, Steve, my note.
This is Larissa. I just wanted to interject that to the extent that the metrics involved a survey. We also took a look at those as a broad category, and in my email I had articulated the kind of information that would be helpful as we continue with the fact-finding mission of what it would entail to do some of these surveys. So we have some broad questions, not necessarily specific questions, I think, because we'd like to approach it from a broad perspective first and answer the, get some direction from the group as to how many surveys, the scope of them, so that we could start drilling down into the specifics later.
Yeah, Larissa, this is Jonathan. I saw your email, and survey is a sufficiently big topic that's our next topic on the agenda. So I just wanted to get through these data points and the non-survey data to see if there was anything that we needed to act on quickly. And
perfect.
So
those are survey-related data points. So
right. So the ones that are survey-related, we'll talk about in context, certainly. But then if there's any others that are in here that are not survey-related, such as 6.1, 6.2, 6.3, for example, those aren't survey-related. And so I just want to get us through this so that we're not leaving things on the floor. It's an okay answer to say you haven't gotten to them yet, because obviously it's a lot to think about. But that's the exercise we're trying to do, is just try to figure out if there's any data that a year from now we're going to regret not having begun collecting.
This is Mike Nelson. I'm really concerned that items like 6.1, which involve talking to dozens of different national regulatory agencies, are just going to take a long time to get going. And so that's not a matter that we need the data today. It's just that we need to start engaging these people, unless ICANN already has contacts at all these different places. And that was my question regarding 6.1. I think 6.1 is incredibly important, and I would hate to be in a position in 2 years where we're just getting to know the people who have the data that we need.
That's a really good point, Mike.
Does the ICANN staff know if we have relations with the Federal Trade Commission in Washington or the equivalent in Germany or Japan?
Yes, Mike, this is Karen Lentz. So I think we have some. As I think it was Evan noted, there are some law enforcement groups that do participate to some extent in some of the ICANN activities. I'd have to check on the specific agencies and countries and people that we do have contacts with, but certainly understand the point that it's a large exercise, and I would as far as the items in 6.1, I think they can be incorporated with the earlier item that had us reaching out to that same group.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say we have a lot more relationships with law enforcement agencies than we do with consumer protection agencies. So that was,
because
a lot of people trying to track down cyber fraud and the rest, they've certainly been very involved in the Who Is discussions. But I'm just concerned about the people who are there talking to consumers about the service they're getting.
Actually,
this is Jonathan. I think that outreach is something that probably needs to begin happening now, and so what we might want to consider is a recommendation, because a lot of these fall into that same outreach to those agencies, that outreach begin now, as Mike suggests, rather than at the point at which the review team is trying to do its work less than a year from now. And so, that outreach and beginning to build those bridges and understand what data they'll be able to provide is something that I think we should happen immediately, and that's a recommendation that we ought to consider, interim recommendation that we should consider making.
That relates to my other biggest concern about this whole list, which is that if we don't get to some of these people who are going to provide us with information early and get some understanding of how these complaints are filed, we could end up in a situation where we're combining apples and oranges. So and that even applies to ICANN. Number 8.1 is about how many complaints are received by ICANN. Well, we can't just count the complaints. We have to have some sense of how serious the complaint was and what the topic was about. I presume we already have a complaint process, but we don't want to end up in a situation where over the course of the review period, somehow the complaint process has changed and we can't really compare one set of complaints to the second set of complaints. It's a cry for standardization so that we can actually make time comparisons.
And Mike, I think that's a fair point. And that's probably got to be part of our ongoing work, is to understand that better. But as long as that data is tracked in whatever form it's collected in now and maintained and has data associations with it, then the analysis that needs to be done to normalize that information later is something we can discuss over time. I mean, so I agree that we'll need to be reaching out to those groups as we go on, and several groups to figure out how that data is structured, how it can be used, and that'll be part of our remit, I believe. But this short term here is just to make sure that this data is being maintained, collected, and can be data associated so that some sort of before and after analysis or trending analysis can be done down the road. So those challenges you raise, I think, are good ones. Back on the 7-1, there's a question about whether it's a snapshot or tracked as an ongoing basis, and I think it's really just snapshot data, unless Steve or Evan disagrees with me, that we're just kind of looking for a before and after snapshot, you know, sort of now and a year from now when this review is taking place. Steve and Evan, do you agree with that on 7.1?
This is Steve, and I'd suggest that the before snapshot could be taken now. We only have about 25 GTLD registries right now. It'd be very easy to go through the 25 registries and see whether they have the privacy policies. And it might even be helpful to do a snapshot of the HTML files of their privacy policies and stick them in a collective document. If that's done, and then we do another one a year after the new TLDs are in the root, be able to satisfy what ALAC had in mind. But Evan, we want to respond to that?
Yeah, this is Evan. I'm cool with it being a snapshot. I'm agreeing with what you guys are saying.
Thanks. Karen, jumping ahead to 8.1,
mm-hmm.
You've got some notes in here that you have the data, and then you've asked a clarification of Evan. On 8.2, you said, what is the intended link between a registry's compliance and the RAA issues? Evan, are you able to respond to Karen on that?
Okay, I think the distinction was to try and figure out the nature of the compliance of the kinds of the accuracy that's going on. So, in other words, in terms of a breach of an RAA having to do with like various components such as grace periods and things like that, and so on. So, the idea being, trying to get a sense as the expansion rolls out of whether or not what is being promoted to consumers is actually what is being delivered. And so a metric of complaints to compliance about alleged breaches of the RAA, even if they're resolved in favor of the party, the contracted party, still can give us a feel that there may be expectations that are being set unrealistically. So you may have a situation where a registrar or registry is totally complying with the RAA, and yet they're still getting complaints about it. That just means that there's probably not sufficient consumer awareness of what those limitations are. I hope that's making sense. Even in a situation where there's a complaint against a contracted party and the contracted party prevails because they were within the RAA, is there a widespread perception by consumers that what is being offered is something else?
Hey, Evan, I'm going to cut you off and hit your hand with the ruler a little bit.
Yeah, I was
remember
done.
This conversation isn't about the whys, because we're going to have those conversations. I'm sure.
No, I was just asked to explain the rationale behind it.
No, I understand, but so I think the key is that we'll have the data necessary to make the analysis that you suggest in the records that are kept. In other words, we'll be able to see if a registry is mentioned. We'll be able to go back and look at that information in the description of the complaint down the road. And so as far as the question of the day, which is whether or not we need something to be collected that isn't, it would seem as though the data necessary to make that analysis, if we agree as a group later that it should be done, will be available for us to do. Does that make sense, Evan?
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is Steve again. Then we're done with consumer trust. And Karen, if you pop over to consumer choice, these are the metrics with the number 2.
Mm-hmm.
You have
actually, I had a question on 9.1 regarding consumer trust, which is about whether end-user software applications implement all of the new GTLDs. And it says here audit. Is that an audit by ICANN, or can I just get a little more detail on that?
You know what? It wouldn't matter for this conversation because it's only going to be done a year after the new TLDs are in the Ruth. There's not a before and an after snapshot on this one, so there isn't any.
There wouldn't be. I mean, I thought the reason this was on here to see whether
take a look applications. At the column for the target is that all major browsers and OSs would have versions capable of resolving the new gTLDs. So if the review is done a year after they're in the root, at that point we can see of the major browsers how many of them can resolve the new gTLDs, particularly the IDN. So there's not a before and after snapshot necessary, and that's why I didn't think it was necessary to cover it at all in this section.
But if I read you right, sorry, this is Evan. If I read you right, you're asking who's doing the audit.
Correct.
Which is not a question for now, though. We'll get to that, right?
Well, again, this is one of those issues where if you're asking the software companies for information, you can't start that a year from now and expect to get it done in a month.
Yeah, I'm, Mike.
Anyway, we can talk later.
There aren't that many browsers.
I do not understand about it. Well, it's not just browsers, though, right? And the real question is how fast are they adding the new gTLDs? So it's not just a yes/no question.
Right. I don't think that's the question for this moment, though. I mean, let's take the conversation.
Let's move on.
Thank you. Because I'm already getting grief on the time budget here, but I feel like this exercise is important so that we don't have regrets down the road. So sorry, Christopher, that we're not making progress faster, but we're trying to get through it as fast as we can.
All right, this is Steve. Competition consumer choice, which is number two, has just a handful of notes in here from Karen. 2.4, which was the quantity of TLDs that use IDNs. Karen, your question for us is meant to gather the number of TLDs offering IDN registrations or number of registry websites offering service. I believe that the first one, 2.4, is only about the number of TLDs that have IDN scripts or languages other than English. And that is a simple count. It would be trivial to count. So it really wasn't something that we needed to discuss on this analysis. This is why there were no notes in there from Evan and I. On the other hand, 2.5, we did need to get a snapshot today. How many registrars today offer IDN scripts second-level domains? Because as you know, IDN is supported today. There is IDN.ASCII and things like COM and NET. And there are some IDNs only on the CC side. But today we could do a snapshot of how many registrars, of the accredited registrars, are selling IDN script second-level domains or languages other than English today. And that is a request for staff to capture that up. So it doesn't necessarily mean the registrar website has service in other languages. That's not what we meant. We meant to say the second-level domain scripts.
Okay,
Karen.
Yep, so that's helpful. Agreed, that's easy to track.
Great, thank you. 2.7, the same section, which was the quantity of different national legal regimes where a new registry operator is based. This can be done with manual work. I appreciate your note. That's good. That's great. Where operations, I think it's the legal entity question, probably only the legal entity question, or to the extent that whose applicable national laws would apply. That may have to do with legal and or physical. And not being a lawyer, I don't know the answer to that. That's it for the consumer choice, and now we're on to competition. And Karen, as I look through your notes on competition, there's only a few. It'll only take a moment or two then. And thanks again for all the work you put into this. The first competition measure you've indicated could be tracked, and then you've asked us some definition on terms on 3.3. 3.3, everyone, is the quantity of unique gTLD registry operators before and after expansion. And the point of this, and there's even a footnote, is that we wanted to understand if there is one registry operating multiple TLDs, then it's really only a one unique operator. We even had a footnote in there, Karen, identifying who they are. So what was your question for us on definition?
So I just wanted to make sure that in tracking these, we're careful on terms. Registry operator is a term that we use in the in terms of establishing baseline data and a snapshot. Now I think there's no real issue. Registry operator is a term that's used now to mean the entity that has entered into the registry agreement, as opposed to 3.4 registry service provider, which is defined differently. It's an entity that may have be contracted with the registry operator to provide some or all of the technical functions. So in terms of unique, I think that's where maybe a little bit more guidance will be needed at some point. There are some with common ownership, or there are many entities that are unique in terms of being their own privately or individually formed company, but they do have ties to another one.
I don't think ties alone would combine the entities. I mean, you'd need to look for controlling interest in ownership. And this is in the area of competition, and we want to be able to evaluate whether the new GTLDs have increased the supplier-side competition. And so let's use common sense measures of common ownership and not a mere alliance or affiliation. And we were very conscious of the distinction that you just raised, the distinction between registry service provider and a registry operator. Mm-hmm. We knew those distinctions, and that's why we have separate metrics for them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And 3.4, so we're cool with that.
Yep.
There were no other, you've already answered the notion on zone files at least every week. So thanks for everyone's patience. I think that covers everything but the surveys, and we can turn over to Jonathan for the rest of the agenda.
Thanks, Steve and Evan, for leaving me a minute to discuss surveys. I think this exercise was important because we wanted to make sure that we didn't regret not having this conversation down the road, and I think the results are mostly positive, that a lot of our work can proceed apace and decisions can be made over the course of the coming year as to whether or not each of these metrics represent valuable metrics, and we can work on targets and things of that as part of this ongoing process. So the big issue that we have to discuss, and as everyone I'm sure understands, it's a pretty big issue that we may not get through. I see Steve wrote a little note about staying on. Sorry, Christopher, we're now on point three, the feasibility and usefulness of a survey on consumer trust. So what I guess I would like to do is open up the discussion
Can we come back to Karen's list?
I'm sorry?
Could we please discuss the first pass from the staff, the input from Karen?
That's what we've been discussing now. Your note wasn't correct about us only being on point one. We were on point two for most of this hour.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you have something else you want?
I sent the list of some comments and proposals for the for competition policy.
And I value those inputs, and we're going to definitely get to them. But it's just not on the agenda for this particular call, because we were just trying to figure out if there were data elements that we wouldn't be able to retrieve later.
Well, look, let me give you.
Haven't been forgotten.
Let me give you a brief impression of the conversation to date. We're designing a Cadillac, and from my first document, which you've received, I'm not against collecting as much information as is available, because I think that in the future there will be techniques and algorithms which will allow us to analyze data in ways that we haven't foreseen. But this Cadillac that we're designing still does not have a steering wheel or a gearbox. And the fundamental competition issues in from the point of view of consumer protection have not yet been thoroughly addressed, even in the very detailed, and I pay tribute to the enormous amount of work that must have gone into these documents, but we have not yet got to the nub of the question. So I would like to put on the agenda.
I need to cut you off. I'm really sorry to do that. I'm not disagreeing with you, and I'm not agreeing with you either, but all I'm trying to do is table this conversation about the substance of these metrics until we have finished the discussion of things that we need to do now rather than down the road. So additional metrics or different data that we need to collect are going to be open for a conversation, although I'm hoping we don't go from 70 to 120 as a result of that effort. But right now, unless there are data points amongst your suggestion that you think need to begun to be collected now and can't be collected retroactively, that is the only question on the table right now. Does that make sense? I'm really not trying to infer the work that you've done, which I appreciate. I think we're not ready to process it yet, because right now, while there are new TLDs being already today entered rapidly into the root, if we need baselines to happen beforehand, we need that to happen right away. And we needed to figure out whether or not we needed to make interim recommendations to the board to collect data that wouldn't otherwise be collected or be available retroactively. That's literally the only question on the table today.
Well, I reserve judgment, sir, because there's a history going back several years of GNSO dancing around particularly the vertical integration question in ways in which are anti-competitive. I think you're dealing with a certain amount of mistrust in this department.
Time to raise that would have been on the public comment period for these metrics that was open. So I right now we have a very specific task on our hands, which is to winnow down the metrics. I'm sure that we'll have to make some time to discuss additional metrics as part of this exercise, because our thoughts will have developed further, et cetera. I don't plan to be dismissive of that, but right now, right at this moment in time, we're just looking at four snapshots if we need to make one in the places where we need to make it. So
see your point in terms of the schedule vis-a-vis the launching of a few new GTLDs. But what concerns me most is that, as I said, we're building a Cadillac, we're talking about the upholstery and the paintwork, and
I take your point, Christopher, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be...
You find that the staff have exhausted their resources and... particularly are still relying on that the legal services' curious opinion that ICANN should not collect price data. We're putting ICANN into a non-credible situation.
And I appreciate those remarks, and so I just want to table them right now.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to...
Just to come back to your previous point about the public consultation several years ago, I did table, and I have recirculated to the website the paper I presented at that time, which foresaw some of the difficulties which we are now in.
So that's why we're gathered together. This is really just a timing thing. Right now we have a specific task at the beginning of this process, which is to determine what, if any, data we need to start collecting now or that can't be collected downstream. That's literally the only question on the table right now. So I promise you that I will make time for discussion of additional metrics or additional data that we ought to be looking at to look at the competition issue and as we go through this. Our goal will be to come up with a subset of these metrics, and there may be some additional ones. But it'll be a hard-fought battle to get them, but there may be some additional ones, but
wait a minute. Affordable. I'm not so hard-fought.
But that is not what we're doing on this call, Christopher. That's all the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah,
we're already running out of time.
I'm trying to make
the
point.
Time to get the review team to come in the future. A lot of this work is going to be done by the review team tomorrow as well.
That's right.
you can't...
Okay, so I really need to move on. A number of people have suggested that we keep going, and I would like to keep going for at least a few more minutes, another 10 or 15 minutes if we can, to begin to talk about the survey. And those that need to drop off, I understand. But I feel like what we're doing here is important, and so I want to make sure that we are thorough about doing it. And so the next thing that we need to discuss is the survey. And I know that there are those on the call that have some opinion about the potential value for a survey on consumer trust, and I'm interested in seeing hands for people that would like to be heard on that topic about the value of a survey on consumer trust and some of the challenges or benefits. So pro and con, that's the conversation we're having right now, pro and con of a survey on consumer trust. So I see Mike Nelson in the queue, so go ahead, Mike.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I was going to say I don't see that trying to do a survey where we take a random sample of end users is going to provide us with much useful information. I do think that the focus should be on complaints to ICANN, complaints to consumer protection agencies, and most of all, complaints to the registries and registrars, if there's a way that we could get them to reveal some of the information they're getting and the feedback they're hearing from their customers. But I just don't see how anybody could do a statistically significant random sample of users to see how they feel. I do think after the fact you could ask a random sample of people in a year or two, okay, given where we are today, do you feel that the domain name system is serving your needs better? I think a single snapshot would be useful, but I just can't see how doing two surveys and trying to compare a random sample of people today with a random sample of people in a year is going to get you anything, and it's going to be incredibly expensive. And you're going to have all sorts of self-selection problems. I'm a physicist by training, but I work with a lot of social scientists, and this seems like an intractable survey problem.
Mike, thanks for your comment. I guess my training is social science, so this could be an extended conversation, but
I'm
I want
to
catch everybody's back on this, and then we'll try to reach some consensus on how to proceed. So, Christopher, is your hand up on this topic, or is it still up from before? Okay, Natalie?
To date, frankly, to do a survey globally with a large enough sample that's scientifically designed to make it statistically significant so that the results would be taken seriously, I think it's going to be exorbitant. I just don't see how it can be. But it's personally, as an economist and a physicist, I wouldn't touch this.
All right. Thanks, Christopher. Natalie? Are you on? Are you still on the phone, Natalie? Not connected. Okay, so I'm going to come back to you. Evan?
Thanks. To me, this is like a prime instance of the perfect is the enemy of the good, that because we can't do something that is absolutely top-notch and full-blown, that we can't and shouldn't do anything at all. Frankly, I think it's an embarrassment to ICANN that before the TLD expansion came out, there was no widespread survey of people saying what worked for them about the DNS, what didn't work for them about the DNS. We obviously can't do that now. But the least that we can do, and what we're tasked to do here, is to try and find out whether or not the TLD expansion was a good thing for consumers. And one of the best ways to do that is to just ask the question. If you go and you limit yourselves to complaints, well, I don't think you have to go very far, and I guess I can come up with the research if I'm pressed to find out that just because people don't complain doesn't mean that they like what's going on. Many will just walk away and stop using memorable domain names completely. We won't hear complaints. We'll just see a drop in use. And if we are to accurately be able to give a picture of whether or not the TLD expansion delivered on its promise, I think one of the things that we really have a legitimate task to do is to ask the targets of what we're doing, did this work for you?
This is Mike Nelson. I don't disagree with taking a survey. I'm just saying you can't take two surveys a year or a year and a half apart and think that you can compare those surveys.
Right,
I think asking in a year and a half, are you happier today than you were a year ago, that would be helpful. But I'm having a problem saying that we have to do a sample today and then repeat
okay.
it a year and a half from now. So
okay.
I just want to be very clear on my complaint.
Ah, okay. Then I'm happy with that. I understand the logistics and the inability to do an apples to apples survey if you know you're not asking the same people. No, I'm fine with that.
Krista?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Why don't we actually, instead of doing a survey, why don't we start gathering the user data today? I mean, we have the tools that we can implement today to give a sample around the world to see how people are actually using the Internet today and gathering that data to see what kind of changes in behavior occur over, say, the next 12, 24, 36 months and see what happens from that. I.e., we'll know how many people are doing typos. Are they doing direct type-ins? Are they doing something else? And from that kind of user data, we'll be able to see the before and the after snapshots whenever we want.
But, Chris, is that data going to give the kind of information that says that somebody says, oh, just forget it, I'm going to use search engines, or I'm going to use Facebook, or I'm going to use something else? I mean, we can see when people have typed things in, but can we see whether or not that has actually resulted in an increase or decrease in consumer trust or even use of the DNS?
So, I guess this is going to be a fairly detailed conversation as we move forward, but I remain unconvinced that people switching to search over typed in DNS is necessarily a reflection of a lack of trust in the DNS. So, I mean, I guess we need to discuss the relative viability of doing two surveys versus one survey that looks backward. But, I mean, part of this is the complexity of trying to assign some metric to this notion of trust, because the only way to really understand whether people are having trust issues is, to ask them or to look at their complaints. I mean, their behavior in this particular case with respect to using Facebook or Google is going to be very circumstantial as a method of measuring trust, in my opinion. I think that's why the survey is there. And so I think what we're trying to get at is the notion about whether or not we can capture enough of this kind of subjective feeling of trust from a survey after the fact, as Mike suggests, or whether we need some sort of a baseline of how people are feeling about the integrity, if you will, of the Internet beforehand. Ron?
Thank you, Chair. I think that my general sense in this conversation is that we do need to do a survey, and ICANN is certainly sufficiently equipped financially to pay a firm to on a global scale to do such a thing. And with these kind of baselines in place as we start this process, and going out 2, 3, 5 years from now, we will be able to see answers to these questions. But if we don't get that baseline, then we've really failed, because looking back and trying to figure out what exactly was it like then is impossible. For any of us, look back 2 years from now and see where you are today in any number of activities, and you wouldn't even have thought of those activities 2 years ago, but yet you may be actively involved in them today. So my view is that it's critical that we get this baseline survey, and it's critical we find the right firm to do it. And if, in fact, we can go back and ask the same people a series of questions 36, 24 months out, 36 months out, all the better. But if we can't, we still have some very valuable research and very valuable baseline information as to what consumers are feeling and thinking today. And that's the critical element. We need to know where people are at today so we can measure that going forward. And this should be understood. This survey may be something that happens every 24 months for the next 10 years. The point being is we have to get these measurement statistics. We have to have this understanding so that we can actually see where this process is going right and where it's going wrong and how we can improve it. Because everything that we're doing today with regard to the expansion of the Internet is going to be out there for 100 years. I mean, we need to take a longer view on this thing. So that's my 2 cents. Thank you.
What questions are you specifically trying to get answers to, though? That's I'm struggling with that.
That's beyond this call.
Not sure who's speaking. Please, we should identify ourselves.
This is Mike Nelson. And who was speaking just now?
Ron Andrew.
Oh.
Okay.
And Mike, if I may just respond, Chair, that's exactly what a survey firm has to do. They're experts. As Chloe pointed out in the chat, this is a science, and there are people who understand that science, and we need to work with them to find that answer. Thank you.
But we're going to be instructing them on what information we need. And I'm struggling to see what information we can gather at this point that would actually give us something meaningful to work from. Because I want results that are actionable and can actually guide policy in the future. And I'm just struggling to see how we can get that information today. So
I guess part of the problem is that an increase in trust, remember the affirmation of commitments called
right.
for an increase in consumer trust in the DNS. And we made an effort in the previous part of this exercise to identify objective sort of data-driven indirect indicators, if you will, of people's trust in the DNS. But the large whole is actually using the words and gaining people's understanding of how they feel about it. I mean, you know, it could be that the things we think matter. For example, that a bunch of people made promises to have restrictions on entry into their TLD and then they broke them all. We have that in there as a metric that's aligned with trust. But if everybody was so cynical as to not believe them in the first place, then it could very well be that all those broken promises had no effect whatsoever on consumer trust. So at best, they're sort of guesses at things we think might affect trust, but not actually measures of trust. And so the attempt here is just to, our remit is to try to come up with some kind of metric associated with trust itself. And the only way to really ask that question head on is to ask that question, and that's why the group that spent many months on this beforehand settled on the idea of a survey. I'm good friends with Anna Greenberg, which is a pretty big survey firm, and I'm going to just ask some of the questions that have been raised and try to gain an understanding of. I wasn't talking about hiring them or anything like that, but it's just somebody that I feel like I can get some answers to these types of questions that are being asked and pass them back to the group. And then we'll just make an assessment about whether or not we'll try to do a before survey or, just as Mike suggests, ask people to test their memories, in American political jargon, if you feel better off than you did a year ago, right? And so that may very well be all that we can accomplish, and she may agree that it's impractical to try and do this as a statistical exercise. And I honestly don't know the answer, despite having been an econometric TA. So I'm going to take this table this for the time being. Everybody that's wanted to be heard, I believe, has been heard. And I'm going to ask some questions of an ex-survey expert and pass those answers on, and then we will simply vote on how we wish to proceed and what we'd like to recommend to the board.
Yeah. The most important question to ask her is what models she could point to where they've tried to do a global sample set on this kind of question. The only one I know is Pew Foundation does, where they go around the world and ask, what's your impression of the United States? And it's a massive, multi-country, millions of dollars kind of thing.
Right.
Thank you very much for doing the research. That'll be very helpful.
So So I'm going to ask her those questions. If anybody has any other questions they think that I should ask her, then please pass them to me via email.
Yeah.
Does everybody
the other
else agree
question
with that
I have
approach?
On.
Does anybody else want to be heard on this topic?
Just one more thing from Mike. The other thing is to ask her if she's ever heard of surveys that try to do this kind of thing in a very dramatically changing technology environment. Because I do think that no matter, a lot of these metrics are going to be influenced by behavior changes and new gizmos and new apps. Some of the other ones are more stable, but this kind of survey question, I think, is going to be really impacted by whether Bing or Google comes up with some cool new way of doing things and suddenly people change their behavior because of that, and it has nothing to do with ICANN policy.
And, so and some of that will be in the wording, and some of that will have to be in how the survey results are weighted amongst the other statistics. But we
yep.
have been asked.
I understand.
We say that we failed, but we have been asked to try to come up with a way to measure increases in consumer trust. That's all. And I
have a question.
We will have many discussions on this. I'm not comfortable with suggesting that greater use of search engines and less use of specific domain names is an indicator of trust. And that'll be a conversation that we have.
Yeah, so I fully agree with you.
The best thing
to
ask. And so it may be, as you say, that all we can do is ask after the fact and take everything with a grain of salt. But it'll be a data point that the review team will have available to them. But the question we need to answer right away is whether or not we're trying to get a baseline, as Ron suggested. And so that's what I'm going to try to establish with this expert. Okay?
John, I have a question. This is David Stockman.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
Time frame. How much time frame are you talking on the survey? A week, a month, 2 months, what?
You mean for the time for the survey to take, to be taken?
Yes.
I don't know the answer to that. That'll be one of the questions I ask.
Okay, that's what I meant.
Okay, if anybody has any other thoughts on this, please email me on them, and I will I'll put them in front of Anna Greenberg and get the answers back to you guys, and we'll use that as an additional data point in addition to everyone's opinion on this, and we'll make a decision. Because I think in the end, we need to decide whether to recommend to the board that a survey happen now. That's really the issue. It's a go or no-go on that question. I want to thank everybody for being on the call. The first thing on the agenda next week will be the discussion of these results, which I will try to circulate. The other thing that we need to reach a conclusion on is whether or not a formal recommendation out of, and this is a question for staff, is that outreach to consumer protection agencies around the world now require an interim recommendation to the board, or can staff informally begin that outreach?
Jonathan, this is Larissa. We'll get back to you on that.
Great. So that may or may not be on the early in the agenda for our next call as well. So if it looks like something that you have a clear picture of what that needs to be and can start doing it, you may just start doing it. Otherwise, you'll come back to us and say that you need something formal from us to request it. Okay. Thanks,
Jonathan,
everyone. Thanks for staying up later, as Bob Costas used to say. And we'll schedule the next call, and we'll get these resolved, and then we'll dig into the meat of this, which is what's in and what's out going forward.
Thank you.
Good call.
Thanks,
Thank
Jonathan.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good call.